to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm MJ Hammett, your host for the show, this year's first show. Michael Terzinski, Del Scanlon, Bill Berg, and Bill Jr., the whole crew is aboard, and we'd like to welcome everybody to the 2015-2016 season. We have a couple of teams, Superior on the boys' side and USM girls on the other side, that are reigning state champions and are going to try to repeat this year. And we wish them and all the other teams this year good luck during this season. Now let's get down to business. We've been checking out some games, and Burglar is going to tell us about last week, the defending state champion Superior Spartans taking on the Antigo Red Robins. Burglar.
Thanks, MJ. I've been waiting 33 years, you know, since we got the rink going here and got involved in hockey in Antigo for a team from Superior to actually come to Antigo, you know, my old hometown and where I happen to live now. And the Spartans did come down and looked an awful lot like the Superior team that we saw most of the season last year. They can skate, they can fly up and down the ice, skate like the wind, ferocious back checkers, move the puck well, do everything except put the puck in the net, which was their bugaboo last year, and they're starting off that way this year. 0-4 to start the season, all four games against Wisconsin teams, most likely going to knock them out of the top 10. They did score first against Antigo in the first period in that game, but then Antigo dominated the second period, put two on Superior in that second period and hung on for the 2-1 win. But just a great game, lots of physical play action up and down the ice. Like I said, Superior can skate, they can move the puck, they can do just about everything except put the puck in the net, which, like I said, was their problem last year until they got down to the state tournament where everything seemed to click for them. So maybe they're just going to try to lull everybody to sleep again this year, make people forget about them and do the same thing. But the Antigo boys put up a good game, good fight, very physical play from their second line, first line moving the puck well, just a good overall game. Worth, I don't know if it was worth, you know, waiting 33 years for, but I was glad to see the Columbia blue and white versus the maroon and white in the Antigo rink. Antigo comes out on top 2-1.
All right, Bill. Superior and Antigo sound like a pretty good game. Bill, Superior and Antigo, one's your hometown, one's your basically your adopted hometown. Did you kind of have a little bit of a torn heart in this one?
No, I've been gone from Superior for a long time.
Okay.
I don't know anybody on that team. I know most of the kids on the Antigo team, I know their parents. Even the people that I grew up with in Superior, their kids are all, I mean, they're old enough, their kids aren't even playing anymore. So, no, it was pretty much Antigo all the way.
I was going to ask you that about Antigo. You just mentioned them here. Is any kids on the Antigo team that you have in the last couple of years coached at all?
Yes. A lot of the guys that are seniors, or some of the guys that are seniors, I did coach back when they were peewees.
Okay, Bill. Thanks a bunch. Let's get to our players of the week. Michael Terzinski's got one boy and one girl, and they're both very deserving. Michael.
All right, thanks, MJ. The Radisson Madison players of the week for last week. On the girls' side, Emma Peterson, a junior forward from Superior. In four games, Emma scored 10 goals and had 3 assists as the Spartans won 3 of 4 during the week. On the season, she scored 12 goals and has 3 assists in 5 games. On the boys' side, Anthony Svoboda, a senior forward for the Kenosha Thunder. In 2 games, Anthony scored 4 goals and had 3 assists as the Thunder split 2 games during the week. On the year, he has 5 goals and 4 assists in 5 games as the Kenosha Thunder are off to a 4-1 start, one of their better starts in recent history. So Emma Peterson for Superior, Anthony Svoboda for Kenosha Thunder, those are the Radisson Madison Players of the Week. Madison's premier Westside Hotel, MJ, and it's back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Michael. Congratulations to both Anthony Svoboda and Emma Peterson for winning those awards. the players of the week. Dell Scanlon, he's been putting on some miles on the highway as he's been out checking out some games. And in fact, Dell's been about four of them. And Dell, why don't you give us a little scoop on them?
Thanks, MJ. Well, when the season opened the weekend before Thanksgiving, I went to the Early Bird tournament there in Waupun that is hosted by Fond du Lac Waupun Warbirds. And that season opened up with a heck of a game of Northland Pines against Fond du Lac. And it was a game that battled throughout and saw Fond du Lac come out on top 1-0 in an overtime game. And it was just a game where both teams put pressure on the goalies, but nobody could get it past until we hit overtime. The next game on Friday evening was actually between Appleton United and the Stoughton Co-op Icebergs. And this is the game that saw Appleton dominate. Stoughton had a goalie in net that hadn't played goalie before. And at the high school level, it's extremely difficult to try to start picking that up. And it's going to be a struggle this year for the Icebergs as they are sitting with 12, 13 players. And the numbers, I think, are going to really get to them as the season goes on. But, they're out there, they're battling, and they're playing hard. But Appleton United came up with an 11-0 victory there. As the tournament went on, Fond du Lac ended up winning this tournament, winning all three of their games with wins over Appleton 4-1. That's the only time they gave up a goal. They beat the Icebergs and they beat Northland Pines. But then after that, I got to stay in Reedsburg as the Metro Lynx opened up conference play against the Badger Thunder. And this was a game that was real tight, and going into the third period, it was still 1-0 as that third period opened. And the Lynx really came through, took advantage of some errors by the Badger Thunder, and ended up winning the game 4-1. Gabby Christensen in net for the Thunder. She faced a lot of shots. It's her first year as the starting goalie for the Badger Thunder. And she's really kept them in a lot of games this season. And so look for things to come. Right now they're struggling trying to find their offense and where it's going to be coming from after they had Rachel Pollock and some of the other seniors graduate last year. They're really trying to find out where that offense is going to come from this year. And then just last week I got to go over and catch the Thunder play again as they had conference play against Sun Prairie. Sun Prairie was coming in after playing up in the tournament that they opened the season up in Baldwin. The tournament was hosted by the Fusion, and they came down and got two goals in the first period en route to a 3-0 win over the Thunder. And once again, the Thunder were right in this game. Margot Thousands ended up with two goals in this game, but even the final score being 3-0, there was one penalty shot in the game, and Gabby Christensen was able to stop that. And like I said, it's just going to be interesting to watch all the players on the different teams grow throughout the season, but I think it's going to be really fun to watch the Badger Thunder and see how they improve throughout the season. Once again, they're under a new head coach. That was a big story this winter in girls high school hockey. Out of 33 teams, I believe we have 9 new head coaches this season. And that'll wrap it up on my games to start the season for the girls.
Hey, Dell.
Yes?
I've had the chance to watch Rock County Fury play once this year. And I've been kind of following them from a distance just for the simple fact that I can't make it to as many games as I would like to. But, that conference, that Badger conference this year is going to be pretty solid. I mean, there's some teams in there that are really going to battle it out for supremacy in that conference. I mean, you talk about Badger Thunder, the Metro Lynx, Sun Prairie, and you throw Rock County in there now, and you know, there's some teams that are really going to battle in that conference. I mean, it's
this conference is it's going to be a battle this year. And you look at the Metro Lynx are sitting with a record of 5-0 right now, and they just slid by the Fury the other night 2-1. It's going to be very tight. And what really bodes well for that is the majority of the Badger Conference makes up your sectional three, which for the last few years has been won by Onalaska. But this, you know, you watch the teams that are in the Badger Conference play, and then you know that Onalaska and Beaver Dam come in to finish up that sectional. And that makes that sectional wide open as to who can actually come out of there this year and make it to state.
You know, you mentioned the Icebergs. I had the chance to see the Icebergs play against the Rock County Fury. And I did watch the goalie for the Icebergs. And I was just kind of wondering, that's just really got to be a change for them. You know, you had the last 3 years, you've had Kenzie Torpy back there who's just been solid. You could all, you know, you always knew that Kenzie was, you know, going to give you a pretty good chance to stay in the game. And now to put somebody in net who's, you know, never played goalie before, that's a big switch. And, you know, the young lady that they put in net that day, she really had her hands full. But you know what? You're right, though. She stood her ground. She did the best she could. And it could be a long season for them, but, you know, some seasons are like that.
And the thing is when you go back over the last 3 years and you've watched Kenzie Torpy play for the Icebergs, that was one of their big struggles. Is if she when she got, you know, any kind of an injury or whatever, they didn't have a backup goalie for the last 3 years, and that's kind of the spot they're in right now. They've had two different players play goalie, but neither one of them are goalies, and they're learning it on the fly. And ask Junior Berg or Trasher, every one of them know what it's like to either be a goalie parent or the goalie themselves, and it's not easy. I was a goalie parent from the time my son was 2.5 till he was through 8th grade, and I mean, you sit there and you watch him play, and it's a different way to have to watch a game.
I know Trasher could relate to that because Emily coming through for 4 years for the Point Rapids Red Panthers, the way they had to battle through the years, and you know Emily keeping them in games. And Michael, it must be a little bit different for you. Now you can watch the game just as a spectator. No deep interests in the game as in your daughter playing.
Yeah, and the odd thing is I haven't even gone to a game yet this year. Getting back to your conversation about the Icebergs, the Red Panthers are in a similar situation as well. Last year they had two goalies. They had Emily, who was a senior, and Marina Chapel, who was a sophomore. And the situation was pretty good for them. This year Emily graduated and Marina moved to somewhere down south, North Carolina or South Carolina, somewhere down there. So the Red Panthers actually have a goalie on their roster that I don't think ever played hockey before, let alone played goalie. And they have a goalie that came down from Marshfield in that co-op, now that Marshfield has been added to the Point Rapids co-op, playing for them. And but she doesn't have a lot of experience either because she played behind Alexa Strawn at Marshfield. So Red Panthers have been playing well this year. They're 2-1-2, but Coach Graves said they're struggling a little bit in net and they need to find themselves there. So can definitely relate to the Iceberg situation, guys.
You know, you talk about, Del, the new goalies going in and, you know, what an adjustment that is for them. My brother, Bob, was first team All-State twice, and when he played for Team Wisconsin, they got the opportunity to spend some ice time with the Badgers before they went to the national tournament. And he just, you know, I think it was luck, stopped Danny Heatley on a breakaway and laughed at him. At which point, Danny started firing slap shots at him, and my brother said that he couldn't see them. He had never seen a shot that hard in his life while he was standing in net. and what these girls are going through taking over in the net, having not played goalie before, or in the case of one not playing hockey before, it's worse than that. It's worse than having a shot come at you that you can't see. You have really no idea what's going on in front of you. You just kind of hope that you stay in the middle of the net and hope that the puck hits you at that point.
Good point there, Junior. Very good point.
I just to defend Bob, he didn't laugh at Danny Heatley. He kind of laughed at himself. He was just surprised that he actually stopped the break. It was kind of like, you know, it's not the, oh, I stopped that. You know, but yeah, whether Danny Heatley took offense to that or not, yeah, the next couple of shots came at his head.
Danny Heatley now playing over in Germany, too. Well, I'll tell you what, it's time to check out the top 10. Enough of us babbling. And, Junior, we'll give you the honors today. Top 10 boys and girls, and I would bet you might even have a few honorable mention teams.
Probably, MJ. Well, here's our first real top 10 of the season. The preseason top 10 is only ever really voted on by the Wisconsin Prep Hockey staff. And to be perfectly honest, this year it was pretty much just Trasher's top 10. as it is actually more often than you'd think during the first one of the season. But this year, the first real top 10, number one, boys, is Hudson. Two is Wausau West. Three, Appleton United. Four, Middleton. Five, Antigo. Six, Eau Claire Memorial. Seven, Notre Dame. Eight, Stevens Point. Nine, New Richmond. 10, Bayport. Honorable mention, Madison Memorial, Onalaska, Superior, University School, Verona, and Wisconsin Rapids. You know, it's interesting to note, the last 2 years, Hudson was the top seed in Section 1, and they had nothing to show for it. And quite frankly, they didn't play well in the sectional final game either year. I got to watch them.
I was going to ask you, Junior, when was the last time Hudson was ranked number one in our top 10? I can't remember.
It's been a while.
They had a good run several years ago, back before we switched the layout of the site. So it was back on the old site. They had a good run, where they were down at the state a couple times. They may have gotten up to number one there, but it's been a while. And I just wonder, we had a fair amount of coaches voting this week, and Hudson got a lot of first place votes. Is everybody saying it's time for Hudson to show them something? Two number one seeds with nothing to show for it. I know Superior won the state tournament last year, but going into that game, very few people were picking Superior to win against Hudson in that sectional final. Are the coaches saying to show me something?
You think probably the last time Hudson was a number one was when Mike Stoskop was coaching them.
That could be
Maybe.
True.
Okay.
Moving on to the girls. Number one is Central Wisconsin. Two is University School. Three is Hayward Spooner. Four is Bay Area. Five is St. Croix Valley. Six is the Metro Lynx. Seven is the Fond du Lac Co-op. Eight is Eau Claire Altoona. Nine is Northland Pines. Superior is 10th. Honorable mention are Fox Cities, the Northern Edge, and Wapaka. It's kind of nice to see the Fond du Lac Co-op back in there. They used to be a fixture in the top 10, and these last couple years they had fallen on harder times. They weren't at the bottom of the state or anything like that, but they weren't the dominant team they were for many years, and this year they've already beaten Northland Pines, Appleton United. They tied University School, and they beat Bay Area, so things are looking up for Fond du Lac.
I want to go back to the boys' top 10 one more time. I want to talk about number 4, Middleton. You know, I had the chance to see them earlier, and I'll get to the game story here in a moment, but Middleton's roster, all juniors, all seniors, one sophomore, and the sophomore starts. I mean, they're gonna be somebody to contend with all season long. I wouldn't expect anything less out of Middleton unless a total collapse, but they're gonna be somebody to keep an eye on this year. They should be very, very tough.
On the boys side, I think this year, I'm sure the teams at the top will be pissed when I say it, but I think it's gonna be a game of musical chairs at the top of the top 10 again. I just think that the talent pool is so even out across the state that probably 15, maybe even 20 teams deep, those teams can win just about any night. So I think this year, I think, you know, if Hudson doesn't lose, they'll retain the top spot, but you know, the last several years, number one has been a revolving door, and I don't see any reason why that would change this year.
No, and District Section 3, right now you've got Wausau West at 2, Anigo at 5, and Stevens Point at 8. And, I mean, the question, well, I guess you'd have to ask Trasher, you know, why Anigo wasn't in the preseason top 10, you know, with the way they finished last year. They lost, I think, a forward, and they did lose their goalie. I mean, and Ryan Schmidt had been their goalie for a while and was, you know, a solid goaltender, you know, all conference, made our final list for the Dobbin Spec Award each year. You know, if young Ben Bartletti can step in and fill those skates and do the job for Anigo, I think they've got a chance to actually, you know, do something this year. They've put up some good numbers this year without getting a whole lot of scoring from Alex Nagel, who broke his ankle as the quarterback of the Red Robin football team and missed most of the training camp portion, you know, of practice, and missed the first game even, and is, you know, kind of making his way back into playing shape now. So I think this Anigo team that I watched play the other day against Superior has a chance to, well, you're never going to know until they actually play Wausau West. They do have West on the schedule late in the season this year, just before playoffs start. So, be interesting to see. I'm interested in watching this Anigo team, play. We got them at 5 right now, and I don't know if they've got anybody on the schedule, you know, that will allow them to move up in the rankings. They don't play, I don't think, any of those teams that are ahead of them right now.
As we look over at the girls' side on the top 10, USM's your defending state champs. And, you know, they started the season out with an overtime win over Hayward, but then they got shut out by the Storm, who's being coached by Pete Susans this year. USM's under a new head coach. Jacob Howery took over for Jason Woods, who moved over to coach the boys' USM team. And then, of course, Bay Area's there at number 4. And they started the season out, and I want to say it was 5-0 before they actually fell to Fond du Lac. And I think they believe they sit at about a 6-1 record right now. And you just look at this, and Bay Area's got a new head coach. So out of the top 4 teams there, 3 of them are under new head coaches. And for some of them, you know, they've been assistant coaches on a girls team, and some of them it's their first time around coaching girls. To me, you know, having coached youth hockey and, you know, U19 girls, when I coached girls, I tried to coach it. I was coaching a hockey team, and I've had different people tell me, you know, it's a little more difficult coaching girls because of the drama and everything. And I've never looked at it that way. I've always looked at it as when you're coaching a team, you're coaching a team. You're not coaching a boys team or a girls team. And I think, you know, it relates to how the coach looks at it. And, you know, I can't speak for any of these coaches, but I think for the most of them, you know, they're out there, they're coaching hockey. They're not worried about if they're coaching boys or girls.
But, you know, even a guy like Pete Susans could probably even make that, able to probably do that transition just for the simple fact that Pete, knowing him like we do, is a very, very calm guy. And I just, do you really see Pete Susans get rattled at guys when he coached boys? Not really. I mean, maybe there's a story or two out there, but I definitely can't see it on the girls' side. But I'm sure he would be, and we're sure we're going to find out that he's going to be a very good girls coach. One of the other things I've noted, though, guys, as I was looking at this top 10, I look here, Madison Memorial and Verona are both honorable mention teams this week. They played back last Friday in Verona, and Verona won that game 7-4. It was interesting because when I was looking at the box score for that, a key player for Madison Memorial was in the penalty box for a long time in the third period, and Verona was able to knock home, off the top of my head, I want to say 3 or 4 goals in that time frame. So that may have made the difference between Madison Memorial being a top 10 team and an honorable mention team. And also I was looking at Middleton's here, just the individual boys skater stats, and Davis Buns, they're very good defenseman. He's tied for number three in the state with points of 14 and goals. He's tied for second with some guys with 8, and he is a defenseman. Middleton, once again, may not have the flashy forwards or the superstars like they did with Korzynski and Skiba, but still able to spread it out and play as a team, which has always been one of their strong points. Now to check out, I had a chance to catch a couple games, and I did get the chance to see Middleton against Janesville. And Janesville has a number of losses from graduation from last year, including their starting goaltender, a couple of top forwards, also a very, very physical defenseman. And Middleton, as I told you, their factor senior class, they have 11 seniors. They have juniors, and then they have one sophomore playing varsity for Middleton. And Middleton came down to Janesville in the Big 8 home opener for Janesville and beat them 7-1 in that game. Earlier, I got to see the Rock County Fury take on the Icebergs, and the Fury won that one going away as Alex Richards had a 4-point night. She's the girl that we haven't mentioned a whole lot about, but being a senior year, she's really off to a fine start. Fine start also for Wanakee on their opening night as they took on Ashwaubenon. The Jaguars made the trip down from the Green Bay area, and they headed back with a 10-4 loss to the Wanakee Warriors, who really, guys, I guess they really look like they have a lot of offense. They can fill it up in a hurry. I just kind of maybe a little bit suspect on the backside. So, Wanakee is going to be one of those teams when we talk about that Section 5 sectional that's going to be there. And, you know, they have plenty of offense to carry the load. Also, I got the chance last week to see Milton and Madison East play on Friday night, and Milton won that game 4-1. Milton down 3 players due to injuries, and they have about 11 or 12 guys on their roster, barring those 3. And they're able to beat the Eastside Lakers 4-1 in that game. But one bright point for the Eastside Lakers was their goaltender, Sean Goss, that night. He was fantastic. Made 48 saves. It was only a 1-0 game going into the third. It was the third game in 4 nights for the Eastside Lakers. And it showed as they got to the third period, they really got worn down. And Goss couldn't hold it off anymore as Milton finally was able to get a couple scoring chances, and he battled all night. His team battled all night, but in the end, they ran out of gas, and Milton was able to come up with a 4-1 win in that game. They may have a small team, but, you know, they are a solid team. Dennis Quinn, the coach for Milton, is putting together a nice little program down there. Not a lot of numbers at this point, but he does have some quality players, and we'll keep an eye on Milton as the season goes along. I see we have upcoming games of the week on the girls and boys side, and who would like to tell us about those?
I'll tell you about the boys' games of the week because that's going to be Thursday at the Green Heck Fieldhouse, D.C. Everest, the Marathon Cup. Actually, 2 games of the week for the price of 1 on the boys' side. First round of the Marathon Cup is going to feature Mosinee at Wausau West at 5:30, and then Wausau East and DC Everest at 7:30. I'll be there to cover both of those games. Wausau West, number 2 in the state right now. They have officially a tie against Oakland Memorial in that Red Granite tournament to start the season. They beat Notre Dame and then tied Eau Claire Memorial, and then they've got 3 other wins just coming back from their weekend trip down to the Milwaukee area where they beat Marquette and University School. Playing Mosinee. Mosinee at 3-1 right now. They've got wins against West Salem, Cedarburg, and Tomahawk, and a 10-4 loss to Appleton. So not quite sure what happened in that game, but Mosinee at 3-1 and Wausau West at 4-0-1. And the second game is going to have Wausau East, who's off to a tough start this season at 0-3, versus DC Everest, who at 1-3, you know, but maybe a little bit better than what their record looks. They had a tough start to their season, losing to Northland Pines in the Dome up in Eagle River, always a tough place to play. I've always said that that's at least a two-goal advantage for Northland Pines up there. So, you know, call that one a draw. And then losing to Wisconsin Rapids and going down, losing 2-1 to University School before beating Marquette 4-2. So a tough start of the season, a very tough schedule for DC Everest early on. So that'll be the first round of the Marathon Cup on Thursday from Greenheck. On the girls' side, I think Dell and Trasher are both going to be at that game.
That's right, Burglar. I get to tag team with Trasher up at Milt Lunda Arena as we watch the Fusion travel down from River Falls to take on Black River Falls Co-op. Fusion have started the season out 3-0. They've picked up a win over Whistle Flag to start the season in their home tournament, and then they had two wins over the Sun Prairie team. And from what I understand, Matt Cranston's team is showing a lot of speed on the ice. They're pretty solid in net. And this, you know, then you turn around, you look over at the Black River Falls team, and they are off to a little bit of a slow start. They started out 0-4, picked up a 5-2 win last Thursday evening over the Badger Thunder. And they're going to be taking on a tough team up there out of the Fusion. And I'll let Trasher talk a little bit about this game.
Well, if there's anybody from Black River Falls listening, have a ladder handy so I can take some pictures with my new camera. I was there one time last year when Emily's Red Panthers played the Black River Falls. It's a nice rink. It's only a few years old. You know, Black River Falls plays pretty well at home, actually. This year, the Fusion, they didn't start out the preseason top 10. They were not in it. They were just outside. But they've come back with a vengeance and have looked really good this year, winning their first three games. So on paper, it looks to be maybe no contest, but that's why they play the games on the ice. Anything can happen, as we've seen throughout the years, and I think it should be a good game, and I'm excited to see the Fusion play. Maddie Rowe is one of the top players in the United States. She was named to the American Family preseason all-girls hockey team, along with Nicole Unsworth. So it'll be exciting to see her play again. She's a very talented player. And it should be a good game, though. Don't count Black River Falls out. They're tough, and they're playing at home, so it'll be a good battle, guys.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot for the little capsule on the games of the week this week, and we will have a report over those games next week on our podcast. But for now, we're going to go ahead and say goodbye here from Dell to both the Bergs and Trasher. I'm MJ Hammett. Got questions, comments? Send them to submit@wisconsinprephockey.net. For the guys, thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next week.